We're in lesson 38 this morning in the dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And as we're rounding some things out in the, chapter 12, we left off in verse 32. And if you remember, that's the second time that God, or Jesus Christ, uses the expression the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, if you remember, at this point. And we talked about the unpardonable sin, didn't we? Remember? And the fact that, God said, Jesus Christ said, look at verse 31. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manners of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. And whosoever speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor the world to come. Now, what is in those two verses? What is it about blaspheming? What does it mean to blaspheme?
Speak against.
Speak against. So, when you speak against the Son of Man, Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'm gonna forgive you." Did he not hang on that cross and said, "Father, forgive them, though no not to give"? So he forgave them for what they did there. But when they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost over here, when stoning of Stephen, the fact that he's not forgave them about that. And they have a sin debt that they had to pay for over here. And we also learned the fact that Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, in the dispensation of grace, he was a blasphemer. And you might be scratching your head like, wait a minute now, what's going on here? If Paul, why isn't he cast in, you know, or cast out or not forgiven? Well, guess what God did? He opened up a new dispensation outside the dispensation of law and dispensation of kingdom. We're down here in verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his what? Fruit. Old generations of body of Christ. Old generations of kingdom saints. He called, Lord Jesus Christ calls them what? Vipers. Now why in the world would he do that? So kind and gentle as we picture Lord Jesus Christ. He was teaching the gospel, but at the same time they weren't understanding him. You got to remember at this point, Lord Jesus Christ is understanding that the nation, the leaders of the nation, is rejecting him. Right? You got that picture. So he's in rejection. So he's pulling away. You're going to see him slowly pulling away from the nation and starts feeding that little flock that he calls, that Moses called a foolish nation. And they become the nation. Does that make sense? And we also learned a couple of lessons ago about apostate nation, didn't we? How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Ooh. We're going to read down to 37. And a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, thou shalt give account therefore in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be what? Condemned. And from 33 to 37, Christ's estimation of them is that they are a generation of vipers. Is that a good thing? Well, we look around today and look at, you know, people that are in authority today. We look at them as what? Nothing but vipers. You know, nothing but, you know, ungodly people. All they want is this, this, this. Hey, there's a group of people over when Christ walked this earth that they was in authority, and he called them vipers. John the Baptist called somebody vipers too, didn't he? Yeah. So that must be a ugly thing to be called. And their works demonstrated who they are. He has just told them in verses 34 and 35 that the words reveal their heart. This could be a lesson for us. If you don't have the right doctrine stored up in you as the right doctrine, out of the heart, out of the heart. We always talk about a heart issue, don't we? We talk about the doctrine being, was the doctrine inside of them, the kingdom gospel, the kingdom doctrine? No. They was following the God of this world. As much as you want to believe that, they was. And, you know, someone once said, well, what is well of the heart will soon come up through the bucket of the mouth. Out of the well of the heart will soon come up with a bucket of mouth. That's understanding, guys, gals.
Out of the mouth, the heart.
And that is true, and it will be demonstrated. You listen to some people sometime when they talk, whether it's doctrine or where it's just this and that, and you can find out really where they're at. When you talk about some things when it comes to understanding the Word of God, rightly divided, they'll tell you how they feel. A lot of them's ignorant. So out of this heart issue comes. He said, whether those two groups you are in or who you are may be manifested through your mouth. That's what he's pointing at. He's looking at the Pharisees and say, listen, I know your heart because you're speaking it. You with me? And he calls, because of the sin of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it's the speaking sin. They're speaking exactly who their heart is. That's scary, isn't it? Makes me want to just bridle my tongue sometime. Because, you know, whether my heart's in it or my head knowledge, sometimes I let my head knowledge overrule my heart, and then I realize, whoa, did I just say that? You know, that type of thing. You can have all the outward righteousness of a Pharisee, yet the sin of your mouth and your mouth reveal the inside of you. It's a good lesson, guys. Your mouth will reveal what's inside of you. So that's why when you understand Paul's epistles, he understands about the fact that, well, how do you yield your members? You yield it to what? Unrighteousness? Or you yield it to what? Righteousness. There's an absolute truth that you'll never want to forget about our mouth reveals what's inside of you. The works and the words that come out of your mouth demonstrates who you are. The heart is exposed through your words. You understand that? I'm preaching to myself here. Okay? I'm serious. All of us can learn this. And when your heart exposed through the words, that's exactly why he called them, you generation of vipers. Boy, I like to use that for some, you know, some people that I know. And you? Oh, you generation of vipers. I marvel how soon you removed from him that called you in this gospel, which is not another gospel. Paul rebuked some people like that too. The blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is a spirit called unclean. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Verse 28. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger for eternal damnation, because they say he hath an unclean spirit. Look at Acts 7:51. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 7:51. You there? Acts 7:51, ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ear, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. There's a group of people out there is resisting the Holy Spirit, resisting the Holy Spirit. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Thank you. Where did you go? Right before, okay. Chapter 9. Thank you. Caught me off guard here. Imagine that. Nehemiah chapter 9. If you got your right Bible, it's page 551. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testified against them by their spirit and the prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore givest thou them into the hands of the people of the land. Hear that? The understanding, the ears of the Spirit. Look at John chapter 12. And on your way, stop in Proverbs. Proverbs 29. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 37. Wait a minute. Might be 27. John 12, 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came the voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people thereof that stood by and heard it said that it was thunder, and others saith an angel spake to him. And Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved harden his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm sharing these things with you, the fact that when they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it's called, they say the Spirit was unclean. That would be speaking evil against. God blinded them after that. Go back to Matthew. Matthew 12, 29 verse 1. God blinded them after that they wouldn't believe, so they couldn't believe in order to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Peter can accuse them in manslaughter, not murder, in Acts chapter 3. You got to understand this, when he says you blaspheme against Holy Spirit, and he starts retaking that word from them, and as we move on, we're going to start looking at parables. And the reason why he talked parables, not so they could understand, so they couldn't understand. Matthew 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now verse 38, want to see a sign. We know Jews require a sign, don't they? And we know if in the times past that God gave them signs, and they knew God was with them. Ever since the time they come out of Egypt, they knew God, and when they start to rebel and they start to doubt and stuff like that, God would give them a sign. God's with us. How many signs up to this point did Jesus Christ give the nation Israel? Deaf, dumb, blind, walking. People, you know, is that not a sign? Leper's cure. Think about today. If he walked out here right now, I hope you would understand who he was. But he would, if he come in here as like he did then, there's a lot of people said that ain't Jesus. But the Pharisees were in disbelief. That's what Matthew 16:4 says. Jonah, what do you know about Jonah? Let me ask you this right quick. What do you know about Jonah in the description that he was in times past. When he was in, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. What would they have known about Jonah in times past?
He didn't do what God wanted him to do
at first. He didn't do it?
He was in the belly of the
whale. Belly of the whale for how many days?
3 days.
And then what happened?
Spit him out,
okay? And then he, you know, that Nineveh city believed, you know? And that really, made Jonah mad because he didn't want to go there. A bunch of Gentiles.
He's a type of Christ.
There you go. That's what it was. Christ tells, he's a type of the resurrection of the nation Israel when Jonah died. He was showing Israel, hey, you want a sign? Look at Jonah, prophet Jonah. He died. Then he came back alive. Okay? That's what it means. Jonah died. You want a sign? You're dead. Israel, the nation. You with me? Now, I want people to understand that there's two type of groups going on here. There was a believing remnant that followed Jesus Christ, and there was a non-believing remnant that was running the nation Israel. I want you got to get that in your mind. And if you're going to help somebody with this, you have to understand there's two groups there. That unbelieving nation Israel was doing things of their own selves, but think they was part of Abraham's covenant, think they was doing the laws, and all that stuff. The unbelieving was following who the Messiah was. Jesus and that little remnant, believing remnant, was in war with Satan and non-believing apostates. You with me? There's a kingdom of God and a kingdom of Satan. They're warring against each other. And what a war it is. Okay? Verse 39 says, "But he answered and said to them," and we just seen that, "but there's a sign of the prophet Jonas." Christ tells them that they will see no more signs until the sign of the prophet Jonas. So what would that be? Verse 40. For Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and what? 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented. They repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jonas was in 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. By the way, you know, we do a message, seems like every Easter, about the death, burial, and resurrection. And this is a proof text that Lord Jesus Christ did not die on Friday. I'm not going into that day. You can tune in Easter Sunday. But the fact is, he did not die on Friday. You know, there's a Bible out there called Good News of Modern Man actually uses that word Friday, that Jesus died on a Friday. Man put that in there. Okay? And it sells good. You're off on Friday, most people. But anyway, the crucifixion was before the Sabbath day and all that. We're not going to get into all that. He rose again the third day. We do know that much, don't we? Well, that's the main thing, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Now, whether you believe he died on was crucifixion on Wednesday or Thursday, you know, I'm not going to argue with you on that. But it wasn't on Friday. There's no earthly, mathematically, or spiritual way that you can get 3 days and 3 nights out of Friday through Sunday. Period. Okay? You guys can go fight with your loved ones all day long if you want to. That's, you know. But anyway, let's move on here. Jesus Christ's earthly ministry started in Matthew chapter 4 and through Matthew chapter 12. And by Matthew chapter 12, the nation Israel has completely rejected Christ as their Messiah. You with me up to this point? Because of their unbelief, they're rejecting. God hardened their hearts and blinded them so that they could not believe. Now, that's hard to believe ourselves, isn't it? You think about that. He hardened their hearts and blinded their minds so they would not believe. You would think Lord Jesus Christ wanted everybody to believe. But look who he's up against. He's in a war, guys. We are in a battle every day when you try to share the gospel of the grace of God today. You know that? You are against somebody that's standing, they will stand toe-to-toe to you, and you show them what the words of the pages say from God's holy word, and they still say, that's what you say. But just be careful, you know, as far as how you respond. You can respond in love and kindness, but always stick with the Word of God. And you can say, hey, I pray for you, brother. If you back up like I used to do and dump a bunch of Pauline truths on them or kick them in the teeth and leave them dead spiritually, you may just lost somebody that would one day call you up, if he's got the time, he or she got, and call you up and say, hey, what was that you were saying? You know, we talk about all the time that if you trust Christ, die for your sins and buried and rose again, you're saved, correct? And we also talk about people, after they do that, they want to get water baptized, or they want to join a church, or they want to do this. Are they still saved? I want to hear this. Are they still saved? Yes, they're saved. Yes, they're saved. But they're part of the ignorant brethren. So that's why studying to show thyself approved, you may be able to help somebody that. But I'm telling you, if you sit there and argue with them, hey, you're not saved because you just got water baptized. You know what? That's not edifying, and you're not helping nobody out. If they want to be ignorant, Paul says what? Let them be ignorant. It's hard to let them go, I know. Because if you're like me, you want to just dump all the knowledge of Paul on somebody, and you know what? After so long, they just like,
keep it simple, stupid.
And let the words on the page. I quit trying to argue with people over that. Now, if they add to and say that you have to do this for your salvation, that's where I got an issue. You cannot add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace of God to be saved. I said it. You can throw rocks at me at this point. Okay?
He wouldn't have said it was finished.
It's complete. God hardened their hearts. We'll go back here in Matthew. God's eternal purpose was to carry out with Israel while Israel took Christ and with wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory. That's what's going on here. He said, okay, you want a sign? I'm giving you a sign of Jonah. What happened to Jonah? You're not going to get another sign until you, with wicked hands, take me over here and crucify me. And when I resurrect again, you're going to see who I am. Powerful stuff here in this verse. Verse 40. For thus Jonas were 3 days in the well, nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And we just read verse 41. Verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, the greater than Solomon is here. He's given them example after example after example. And those people believed Jonas. And that person, Queen of the South, believed who? Solomon. But the greater than Jonas is here. The greater than Solomon's here. I'm thinking, you know, I was ignorant in my early days. But I'm telling you, when I heard about Jesus Christ, when I was that high, I never did deny who Jesus Christ was. I've been taught who Jesus Christ was all my life. Whether I believed it and took it personal about Him dying for me, I knew all about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. I mean, most Bible churches, believing churches, you know, whether they pack Bibles or Bible, they'll teach you that Christ died for your sins as a young child, won't they? I mean, we're teaching our children right now that. But, you know, to make it personal is where you draw the line. You got to make it personal. I cannot save you, and you cannot save me. I cannot study for you, and you cannot study for me. We learned a little bit. Well, let's keep moving. Light rejects becoming lightning. But God forgave them for crucifying the Lord because they did it in unbelief. That's why he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not the and ignorance. So he gave them another chance to repent, and he changed the sentence to murder. In Acts chapter 2, let me ask you this. I know I'm jumping a little bit. But after the Lord Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again, he comes back and stays with them for 40 days. And he teaches them what's going to happen. Okay? And the Holy Spirit comes on them. Here's what gets me. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that came on the Pentecost that everybody wants to be a part of, the same Holy Spirit that Stephen was full of, the same Holy Spirit that Paul talks about, the same Holy Spirit is dwelling in you today. And you get it from the Word, and how, you know, we say this quite a bit, don't we? Your Holy Spirit will not work on a basis of ignorance. It will. And you know, more you think about that, think about that. Because people you talk to and people believe that the Holy Spirit is telling them this and doing that, and you're listening to that, and as they explain that, you know who's really telling them to do that? You. That little bitty conscience. And so they think, God's telling me to do that. And they will totally ignore the Word of God. So when you take that information, an error, and apply it to the Holy Spirit that dwells on you, it just sits there, starving, wanting to grow when you grow. But if you put the right doctrine in there, it starts to grow, and the decisions you make and your walk you make and what comes out of the heart is different, comes out of your mouth. It makes a difference what doctrine you put in, and that's what he's saying here. But that Holy Spirit over here, when he tells them, you with wicked hand has crucified the Lord of glory, you know, he's putting a murder indictment on them in chapter 2. Then the next chapter, he's preaching to the same people, nation Israel. You did it ignorantly. See how he's... if I did something ignorantly, boy, it's a lot better than doing something not ignorantly. I can't go down the highway and get a speeding ticket at 65 miles an hour in a speed zone that's 50 and claim ignorance anymore. I can't do it. You know why? I know. Now, that officer can do what? Okay, I'll make it easy on you. I'll just give you a warning ticket. That's what Peter is doing over here. He's lessening the guiltiness. Did it prick the hearts of some? Some it did, because he said, hey, 3:19, he's talking about repent and be converted. He's telling that same thing. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. And he shall. This is when they get their sins blotted out. In that kingdom program. Look at verse 41. And down through 45. We read 41 and 42. 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walked through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he find it empty, swept, and garnished. Boy, it'd be nice to go out for a vacation and come back and your house is all cleaned up. Wouldn't that be nice, ladies? Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwelled there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be amongst unto this wicked generation. Man, he's coming down on some things, and if you talk about degrees of punishment, Christ applies the illustration in verse 43 and 45, to that the nation Israel, as an evil, apostate, wicked generation. Man, you got to really think about this for a minute. I can't help thinking about, and I know I said this, and I don't want to be repeating myself, but I want you to understand where I'm at when it comes, when I read the Lord Jesus Christ walking this earth, and He's looking at a generation of people that claim to be the descendants of Abraham and following the law of Moses, and He calls them wicked. And He says, your generation is not going to escape this stuff. And I'm thinking, because all my life I've been taught who Jesus is love. Have you ever asked somebody what their church teach about Jesus Christ? Do that sometime. Just ask them, hey, what's your church preach about Jesus Christ? I'd be willing to say that 8 out of 10 times they say, Jesus is love. Mm-hmm. Jesus love. Is He not love? We know He love. But does it sound like He's love here? He's setting and drawing a line, guys. The man in verse 43, out of whom the unclean spirit have gone, was that this wicked generation. He says that when those unclean spirit has gone out and traveled around a while and come back, the man of the house was swept and clean and garnished, but it was empty. And this unclean spirit goes out and gets a 7 other spirits worse than he was and comes back in that house and inhabits the house. The last state of the man is the worst than before. That's scary. Hey, if you reject this truth, you think about this. Reject it, reject it, reject it. Your house gets empty. But does it stay void? There's a vacuum, and it's going to suck something in there, isn't it? 7 more times worse than the ones that left that house, the nation Israel came in there. You're going to follow a nation today that is apostate nation? And many people teach that, don't they? You're part of Israel. Why would you want to be a part of something that God says is unclean? Christ came casting out evil spirits. He came to bind and cast out the strong man and spoiled his house. Didn't we see that before? What does Israel do? They don't receive Him, guys. You see, the man's house is empty. It didn't have this. It didn't have that guest, the Lord Jesus Christ, in it. If you opened your doors back then and had Jesus Christ in it, the unclean spirits was gone. And he says that Israel's result, that Israel has become the world's haunted house, if you think about it. This is scary. We're in a time of year that stuff's going on, getting ready to go on. And, you go to those things. Do you go to those things? Haunted house. Boy, I used to go to those things. It's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, now I love fall. I love when you put your pumpkins out. And you're the things. But when you start carving my names in them and my faces in them, then I get scared. But I love to go to the mazes. This is beautiful time of year. It's harvest time, guys. Look, and it was bad for Israel to miss the presentation of Christ in His earthly ministry. I'm going to blind you now, He's saying. There are blindness until the cross. From the time He starts right now, we're getting ready to look at, as he's realizing he's being rejected, now he's going to start talking about going to the cross. And there is a renewed opportunity in the book of Acts, we know that. And if they miss that one, the latter end of the man is worse than the first. You think about that now. He just gave you an illustration. If Israel missed that opportunity to trust Christ and get in that program, there's not another opportunity until way over here. And anybody's trying to get in that program today, they're worse than the first man. That's why God changed the program. And the first 2 times, you have been forgiven for your blaspheming. For the last one, there is no forgiveness. Talk about the nation Israel. Father, we do thank You for the time You've given us. We thank You for the grace You has bestowed upon us as believers of You. And we thank you for the time you have given us once again to understand the Word of God, rightly divided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.